Good evening. Everybody have a good day. It was one of those nice, crisp fall days that some of us have been waiting for. Some of us, I know we traveled over fall break, and it was nice to get away. And it was 90 degrees some days. And as we left, it was 80 degrees. It was nice. It was warm. We were in shorts and t-shirts, comfortable. And we pull back in here and it's 37 degrees. Wow, what a difference. But, you know, in all this, there's one thing that came to mind as we were traveling and we were away. One thing that hit me is our blessings. Have you ever thought about your blessings? Anybody ever thought about your blessings? Have you been so blessed, so overwhelmed with blessings that you pray, please, Lord, just maybe pass these blessings on to somebody else? I don't think anybody's ever had that, right? It's one of those things we don't ever feel so blessed that we want to pass that on, but we keep asking for more. And this is one thing for most of us, I would say, sometimes we feel underblessed. But if we truly take stock in all our blessings, we realize that we are so blessed beyond measure that we could pray to pass these blessings on. Tonight, that's what I want us to think about, is our blessings and how blessed we truly are. Because we as a people are blessed beyond measure. And as I was preparing for this lesson, I thought of what blessings we actually have. I literally sat down, took a pen and paper, and started trying to write down every blessing. And I know some people that do that, is they keep a blessing journal and write down what they are blessed with and how they are blessed from it. And as you do that, you realize how truly blessed we may be. But sometimes I think we forget that. And we pray for more blessings because we look at what others are doing or what they have. And we think that we're not as blessed as they are. Because we look through that lens of, well, we'd like that for ourselves. And as I was thinking about this, I remembered a bulletin article I read one day that somebody had copied a poem from Nelta Brock. And it says, "I knelt to pray when day was done and prayed. O Lord, bless everyone. Lift from each saddened heart the pain and let the sick be well again. And then I awoke another day and carelessly went upon my way. The whole day long I did not try to wipe a tear from any eye. I did not try to share the load of any brother on the road. I did not even go to see the sick man just next door to me. Yet once again, when day was done, I prayed, O Lord, bless everyone. But as I prayed into my ear, there came a voice that whispered clear, pause now, my son, before you pray. Whom have you tried to bless today? God's sweetest blessings always go by hands that serve him here below. And then I hid my face and cried, forgive me, God, I have not tried. But let me live another day, and I will live the way I pray." It's a sweet poem about asking for blessings and to bless other people, but forgetting to do that. Going carelessly about our day, and then at the end of the day, praying again to be able to bless more people when we failed to try to do that the day before. So tonight I really want us to think about our blessings, both physically and spiritually. And then I want us to focus on what we are to do with our blessings once we realize how blessed we really are. So as I begin this, I thought about our physical blessings. And I started writing down what I was blessed with physically. And as I started thinking about it, the very first thing that comes to mind is we are blessed with life. Sometimes we forget that. That we are blessed with life. That we get to wake up each morning and live from day to day. And we are able to go and do and see. But most importantly, we are able to be God's hand here on earth and help others. That we are blessed with this life. You see, in Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 26, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." Later on, we see that after he created them, then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. God gave us life. And sometimes I think we take that for granted, that God gave us this life and that he created us in his image so that we can be his reflection here on earth to other people. See, we have his image. We are his reflection. So we reflect him in the love that we have for others, in the people that we come into contact with day in and day out, with the people that we are closest to, but also perfect strangers. We can show them love. We can also show them caring. We can show them kindness. We can lift somebody up that is in need. We can also show God's character through forgiveness, forgiving others and asking for forgiveness. We can also show his faithfulness towards him, because he created everything. He created it all, and at the end of creation, he said, "It is good." And we can show that back by being faithful to him. But knowing this, that we are made in his image, is another blessing, because it helps us see our self-worth. So many times, we forget about our self-worth, because it comes from God. You see, a lot of times we figure out our self-worth based on what we see others have, what we see them do. We base our self-worth on how much money we make, what kind of job we have, what kind of things we are able to do. Maybe it's about our ambition, but we base our self-worth on something non-trivial. But we should base our self-worth on God's express image that he created us in, because it's through him that we have self-worth, that we can have all these extra blessings. You see, knowing this and that he gave us that breath of life, that he gave us life in general, should exceed everything else, because we are made in his image and that image is perfect. You see, every good thing that he made is perfect. Perfect in his image. The second thing I took stock of, besides my life, that I'm able to walk. I am healthy. I am able to move and do and be able to lift things. I'm not confined to a wheelchair or a bed, but I am able to get up and move, and that is a blessing in and of itself. But the second thing that he blesses us with is the necessities of life. You see, many times we forget about the necessities of life as being a blessing because we just expect them. You know, if we get up and we're hungry or we're thirsty, we go and open our fridge and we have plenty of food to eat. We have plenty of things to drink. Sometimes it may not be exactly what we think we want, but it's enough to sustain a life. And that is a blessing. You see, in Genesis chapter 1, not only did he make us in his image, But starting in verse 29, it says, "And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth. Every tree whose fruit yields seed to you, it shall be for food." You see, he made everything, even the necessities of life, available to us. And after man sinned in the garden and realized that they were naked, he even made them clothing. You see, he provided everything that they needed for life. Not only did he give it to us, but he provided everything we would need to continue that life. And in Matthew, when he was preaching the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 6, he was teaching them to pray. And he even said in verse 8, "Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you even ask of him." You see, he knows exactly what we need. But later on in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25, it says, "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by wearing can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not more clothe you, O you of little faith? For all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." You see, God blesses us with the necessities of life. He says, don't worry about the necessities of life, because I know you need them, and I will provide them for you. But here's the one thing I want you to do. Seek the kingdom of God first. And if you do that, I will continue to provide these things for you. I will help you get everything you need. The third thing that I think that we sometimes overlook that God provides the blessing of, and that's family. You see, this past week, I spent an entire week with my family. That's something we don't get to do on a regular basis. We see each other every night, and every morning we see each other as we hurry about our daily lives. We wake up, usually in a rush, because that's what happens, isn't it? That's the daily life, is you wake up and you realize, ooh, I woke up too late. So now you got to rush, get a shower, brush your teeth, wake the kids up, get breakfast, make sure they got all their school books put in their backpack. As of right now, make sure they've got a mask that they can wear. Then you got to get into this car and get to school before the bell rings. And we rush and rush and rush, and we don't get to spend quality time together in the mornings. And then as soon as you get home, it's you got to get supper ready. You got to get homework done. You got to get clothes ready for tomorrow's school. You got to get a bath. Then you got to start the nighttime rituals. Did you brush your teeth? Did you read a story? Did you get in bed? And it's on and on and on, and you realize that the time that you spend with your family is gone and everybody's asleep. And that's the time where I walk through the house and I check on every single one of them and make sure that they're sleeping and that they're sound. But spending a week with your family without having to rush or be anywhere, and even spending a week with your in-laws, you realize the blessing a family, that God blessed us enough to give us a family, and he did that for his son when he sent him to this earth. He blessed him with a mother and a father, that even after he was born, they heard God had told him, said, "Herod is looking to kill your son. Please take him and get him to Egypt," as we see in Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse 13 through 15. So they hurry and take him to Egypt until they find out it's safe. You see, God knew family was important, and he blessed them and watched over them and protected them.
and gave Jesus an earthly family to look to. Even in Luke chapter 2, we've seen that it was customary that they went to Jerusalem every year to worship. And as the family was returning home, they supposed Jesus to be in front of them with other family members. And after a little bit of traveling, they realized Jesus was not with them. Anybody ever left a child somewhere? It's a scary feeling. Or their child wandered away from them. It's a scary feeling. You start wondering, where are they? And you start kind of freaking out a little bit, wondering where they might be. And you get scared, not only for yourself, but for them, to be wondering, where is mommy and daddy? You see, that's a blessing, is to have family. Because it's within the family that we love each other, and we care for each other, and we look out for one another's best needs. But not only that, we have spiritual blessings that God gives us. And we have the exact same principles in our spiritual blessings that we have in our physical blessings. You see, God gave us the spiritual blessing of life. You see, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "For all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God." If you go back and you look at the translation, it was theopneustos, God breathed. Again, it shows that God breathed life into Scripture. And that Scripture gives us life. And not only does Scripture give us life, but it is profitable. It says it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You see, that word profitable means it is useful to us. That everything that we needed for life is right here, and it came straight from God, inspired by God. So we have life. But not only does these words give us everything that we need, it says that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped, that we may be complete for every good work. You see, God gave us life. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, he says, "But the thief comes to rob and to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus came to give life more abundantly." He contrasts the thief who destroys life to Jesus who gives life. But not only does he just give life, but he gives an abundant life. And that abundant life is not just later down the road, but it's immediately when we come to know him and we put him on through baptism, that we have the immediate abundant life. You see, that immediate abundant life comes with knowing his love, with knowing his forgiveness, with knowing that there is a hope for a better life, even after the one that we live, because it came through his Son who gave it to us. You see, he then also gives us the necessities of life through his Scripture. In John chapter 6, starting in verse 30, it says, "Therefore they said to him, 'What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do?' Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" So they're asking, what kind of necessities of life are you going to give us? Then Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." See, they wanted the necessities of life. And he's saying, not only am I going to give you necessities of life physically, but I'm going to give you necessities of life spiritually. Because he says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I say to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up in the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son of Man and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day. You see, he gives us spiritually the necessities of life, the bread of life, through his word, that we can read it and understand it and do his will so that we have a hope of everlasting life. The last thing he gives us is a spiritual family. You see, everyone here is our family. We are the family of Christ. And he made it that way to treat each other like brothers and sisters until we get home to heaven with our Father. You see, in Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 26, it says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." We become his son through Jesus Christ, his son. "For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Now there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." He makes us his son through Jesus Christ and makes us a family that we can share together. As I've spoken before, Fred Ferris, he was one of the Happy Haven House parents for a long time. And as I started driving the church bus, and he was older and advanced in years, and diabetes had taken his leg, and he couldn't walk, and he couldn't drive hardly anywhere. So he wanted to ride the church bus to church. And every time he led singing, he always led the song, "God's Family." And I'll never forget, every time he got on the bus, he led that song every time he got on the bus. And he would always say, "Brothers and sisters, how are you doing?" Because he realized we were all part of God's family. And that's one of the biggest spiritual blessings we can have, is we have brothers and sisters in Christ that we can lean upon, that we can lift each other up, and that we can do life with. But he goes on and says in chapter 4, verse 5, "To redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." So we are redeemed through his son, so we may become heirs with him, as it says in verse 7. You see, God blesses us so much with all spiritual blessings. But sometimes we wonder, what do we do with our blessings? Once we realize what all we've been blessed with, what do we do with them? You see, God said to go into all the world making disciples of all nations. How do we do that? By teaching, but also by blessing others. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, says, "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing." You see, he tells us all that we are made in his image, that we can be, that we can have compassion for one another, that we can care for one another so much that we want to share what's in us. We can be tender-hearted. We can be kind to one another. We can treat others courteously, but also not to return evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but to return that evil and that reviling back with love so that we can be a blessing to others. For it says in verse 10, "For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. He's saying, be a blessing. Be a blessing to others and show others how to be a blessing as well. Because when we bless others, it helps them to see God through us. And that is a blessing in and of itself. When we pass that on, others will see our good works. But not to glorify us, as it says, but to glorify our Father in heaven. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We are an express reflection of His image. That is one of the biggest blessings we have. And that is to pass it on to others. As it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. He's saying, I'm not trying to do this of my own, but I'm trying to imitate Christ who made me in His image. So everyone else should do the exact same. We should bless others and imitate Christ and how He blessed others. You see, Jesus Christ lived on this earth and He walked and talked as a man and blessed others. See, people came to Him for help because He was blessing so many. Even to the point that one man's friends cut a hole in the roof of a house to let him down, to get him close to Jesus. They had to take some real guts. I don't know if I could have physically carried my friend up to the roof of a house, let alone to cut somebody's house open and then to let him down. But you see, God blessed him, said, arise and walk. Christ blesses us so many ways and asks us to return that to others. We are amongst some of the most blessed people in this world. And as I was thinking about this, everything, as I was thinking about my blessings and how everything comes around, this song kept popping in my head. And that's number 591 in your books, which is also our invitation song tonight. Sometimes we forget when upon life's billows that we are tempest tossed. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost. When we're burdened with a load of care and that cross is really heavy that we're called to bear. When we look at others and see what they have and think that we haven't got what God told us. When we look at the conflict and we get discouraged, we have to remember to count our many blessings. Because when we do, it will surprise us what the Lord had done. It might even get us singing as the days go by when we realize that our reward is in heaven, our home on high, and that help and comfort will give us till our journey's end. See, Johnson Oatman Jr. wrote this song because his father was a very talented musician in his day. And he wanted to be talented. He wanted to be this great musician like his father. And he realized he was not that talented. But he was talented in one way that his father wasn't. And that was being able to write songs. So as he started writing songs for other people, he penned over 2,000 gospel songs, some of which are in this book. But this is one that stuck to most people. Was as he was discouraged about his own means and of not having the blessing that he thought he should have, he started writing down what he was truly blessed with. And that was the words to give other people to lift them up. You see, God blesses us so many ways. because he gave his son for us so that we have a hope of eternal life. We have something better than this because we have life. We have all the necessities that we need in this life, and we have our families. But we have so many other blessings that we could take and count and have such a wonderful life. I'm going to challenge you this week. That's one thing I like to do with our teenage classes, to challenge them with something as they go through the week. But this week, I'd like to make a challenge to you. Take 5 minutes out of your day, one day this week, and write down your blessings. And as you start writing, you realize how many blessings we actually have that God allows us to have. And we are truly a blessed people. Maybe you've not had the blessing of becoming a child of God, and you need to do that tonight. Or maybe you become a child of God and feel that you have wandered away. Or maybe you feel overwhelmed with the load you're called to bear. If we can encourage you through prayer or through anything that we can do for you tonight or any other time that we are afforded, because time is a blessing of God, and we have that at this point in time. If there's anything we can do for you, please come as we stand and as we sing.